WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Monday, June 20th, 2016, and you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and boy, oh boy, you know what's coming on today's show. Did you look at what took place last night out in Oakland, California? Yes, the city of Cleveland, I'm sure, is still celebrating as we speak. It's been 52 years since the city of Cleveland has been able to celebrate a major sports championship. And that all ended last night as the Cleveland Cavaliers topped the Golden State Warriors to take home Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Congratulations to the city. We will have plenty, and I do mean plenty, of talk on the big win for LeBron James and company. We will talk about what this means to the city of Cleveland. We will also talk about the legacy of LeBron James, and we will invite Cleveland Cavaliers beat reporter for Cleveland.com and radio host for 92.3 The Fan, Chris Fedor, who does an outstanding job, and he was, of course, reporting into the wee hours of the morning on the big Cavs win. He will join us via phone to talk about how the city celebrated last night, and we will have Reflection Friday and so much more. If you want to join today's show and be a part of the action, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hear your thoughts about LeBron James and the Cavs doing something that has never been done in NBA history. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, again, ladies and gents, boys and girls, the Cleveland Cavaliers delivered the first major sports championship to the city of Cleveland since the 1964 Cleveland Browns. The Cavs defeated the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors, 93-89 in Game 7 last night. It is the first time a team has won the title after falling behind 3-1. In a final series. Of course, the Cavs were and are always led by LeBron James, who fulfilled his promise to the city when he returned from Miami, saying he would try to bring the city a championship. James scored 27 points, collected 11 rebounds, delivered 11 assists, blocked 3 shots, and had 2 steals. His 7th finals triple-double, and the last Game 7 triple-double to be on record occurred back in 1988 by the great James Worthy. And now LeBron James here in 2016 accomplishes that feat. He was named Finals MVP for the third time in his career, averaging 29.7 points, 11.3 boards, 8.9 assists, 2.6 steals, and 2.3 blocks. We will have plenty more on the NBA Finals in just a second. And President Barack Obama has always been known as a basketball fan ever since he took the office, from converting the tennis courts to the White House to be able to be used for tennis and basketball, to airing his NCAA bracket on ESPN each and every year. Yesterday, Obama and his family lingered on Air Force One after landing at Joint Base Andrews to watch the final minutes of Game 7 of the finals. Obama and his family were returning from Yosemite Valley, California, after a trip to Carlsbad Caverns National Park in New Mexico and Yosemite National Park in Cali to encourage more people to appreciate and visit national parks. But Barack Obama, before getting off that plane, he had to check out who took home the championship last night. Pretty cool stuff. Justin Johnson, he won the U.S. Open and his first major championship yesterday, shooting a final round of 69. Dustin, he won by 3 strokes after a penalty was assessed, causing him 1 stroke. Johnson was assessed a penalty because his ball moved on the 5th hole as he was about to attempt a 6-foot par putt. After taking 2 practice strokes near the ball, he set his putter down before starting to put it behind the ball. And at that point, Johnson recoiled as the ball moved slightly backwards. So Dustin takes it, and although Dustin, he finished strongly enough Where it didn't affect the outcome, the USGA was criticized by many, including Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Ricky Fowler, with how they handled the overall situation. Eagle Eye will play host all week to the 105th Michigan Amateur Golf Championship. The tourney, with two rounds of stroke play on Tuesday and Wednesday to narrow the field to 64 players, followed by six rounds of match play Thursday through Saturday afternoon. Thursday will be the most active day with 48 matches to whittle the field from 64 to 16 players. Now, Eagle Eye becomes the only Daily Fee standalone golf course to ever host the historic tournament since it began in 1906. The vast majority of Michigan amateurs has been played at private clubs. The Country Club of Lansing was the only other Mid-Michigan host course all the way back in 1934. Ex-Michigan State basketball guard Keith Appling found himself in trouble yet again over the weekend. He was arraigned yesterday on a charge of carrying a concealed weapon. Detroit police said Appling was arrested after officers stopped a fast-moving vehicle around 1:30 a.m. on Saturday and saw him place a gun under his seat. According to Appling's attorney, Appling didn't put the weapon under the seat, that Appling didn't know the weapon was inside the vehicle at all. And he is scheduled to appear in court on Friday for a hearing on weapons and drug charges from a May arrest when he brought an assault rifle to a suburban Detroit strip club. Appling was released on $5,000 bond and is scheduled to be back in court June 30th on the latest charge. The Detroit Tigers ended their 10-game road trip yesterday with a loss to the Kansas City Royals in extra innings. Tigers pitcher Jordan Zimmermann had a strong outing, throwing 8 innings of one-run ball, but he had no run support. The Tigers were shut out by the Royals right-hander Chris Young, as well as strong play from the bullpen. They lost 2-1 in 13 innings. The Tigers finish up the road trip 4-6 and currently have a record of 34-35. The Tigers return to Comerica tonight at 7:10 p.m. against the Seattle Mariners. You can find that game, of course, on Fox Sports Detroit. It looks like the Big Ten and ESPN will continue their 50-year relationship. Street & Smith Sports Business Journal reported this morning that the two sides agreed to a 6-year, $1.14 billion contract that gives ESPN half of Big Ten's media rights. Now, ESPN joins Fox Sports, which agreed to a $240 million per year deal with the conference back in April, and CBS, which renewed its basketball-only package for $10 million per year. The Big Ten Conference will be tripling their earning from previous media rights contracts, all told the deals with ESPN, Fox Sports, and CBS amount to a 6-year, get this, $2.64 billion media rights package. That is a ton of money. And last but not least, we have an update on the Detroit Lions cheerleader auditions. The Lions had been one of 6 clubs without them, but after conducting some internal research and receiving the approval of owner Martha Firestone Ford, they have elected to add a squad for the upcoming season. Auditions begin at 8 a.m. on June 25th at Ford Field. Registration is required for those interested in participating. Callbacks are scheduled for later that weekend, and finalists will go through a 5-day training camp in July. The squad will be introduced in early August, according to the team, and will be ready for its debut on September 18th, that home opener against Tennessee. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
The Cavalier fans have hope again that this could be the year that the title drought comes to an end. LeBron James and the Cavs with victories in games 5 and 6 to even this series at 7 games apiece. Can they pull off the victory here tonight? Coming up. but James. Curry tries to deny. James gets it. Shot clock winding down into Love. And Love lays it in as the shot clock expires. Five to shoot. Azeli again goes back up on him. James steps back for three. Puts it in. LeBron James from downtown. And the Cavaliers go up by two. Dribble steps back, puts up a three, won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spates, final seconds. It's over, it's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
I set out a goal 2 years, but I came back to bring a championship to this city. I gave everything that I had. I poured my heart, my blood, my sweat, my tears to this game, and Against all odds, I don't know why we want to take the hardest road. I don't know why the man above gives me the hardest road, but it's nothing the man above don't put you in situations that you can't handle. And I just kept that same positive attitude, like, instead of saying, why me, they're saying, this is what he want me to do. And Cleveland, this is for you. Oh!
Oh boy, did you just get chills? Wow. Hats off to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are your 2016 champions of the NBA world. No one saw this coming. No one saw this coming except one man. All right, and that's our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Mad props to him. I'm going to bring him on in just a second to talk about what went through his mind as the Cavs pulled out that improbable Game 7 last night against the Golden State Warriors. History, folks. History. Isaac was actually out in Cleveland to witness that moment firsthand. Stunned, though. You know, I was sitting there with my pops yesterday watching that. And as that game went on, I mean, there were so many lead changes. So much emotion in the building. You could just feel it, even though I wasn't there in the building. I mean, you could feel it bleed from your television, folks, as that game went on. We have not seen a closed game like that one throughout this entire series. And boy, oh boy, was it a treat last night. LeBron James and the Cavaliers delivering the city of Cleveland its first major sports championship in 52 years. Wow. Phone lines are open. We're going to take your calls. We're going to read your comments throughout this entire hour. It is going to be a jam-packed show filled with plenty of talk on what the Cavs were able to do last night. Please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Of course, you can also weigh in via social media by simply going to Facebook.com/currentsports. If you leave us a comment there, I will read it live here on our airwaves. Or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. So the Cleveland Cavaliers become the first team. You've heard this stat left and right now since last night. They become the first team in NBA playoff history to come back from being down 3-1 in a respective series. Crazy, crazy stuff. And when you look at history, folks, the cards were stacked. Stacked very high against LeBron and the Cavs. When you look at NBA Finals Game 7s, the home team was 15-3 entering last night. That is an 81% win percentage, folks. Also, in playoff history, when you look at the overall Game 7 situation, not just particularly just the NBA Finals, but in playoff history, the home teams were 101-24. That's also an 81% win percentage. And, you know, you look at this Golden State Warriors team. This is a squad that had the best regular season in NBA history. They, of course, broke the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls record of 72-10, getting one more win than MJ and company at 73-9. The Warriors only lost 9 games the entire 82-game year. And they lost 9 games alone in the NBA playoffs. Wow. And, you know, I sit there and it just continues to blow my mind when I think about the city of Cleveland and how this fan base has gone through so much. So much. We're talking about 5 decades of failure, ladies and gents. That's crazy. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a Cleveland fan, but there's no other fan base that has gone through what you've gone through, okay? And it was remarkable watching the final moments of that game. And I loved how after the broadcast was said and done, I flipped over to ESPN SportsCenter, and they showed the live reaction of the city of Cleveland right outside of Quicken Loans Arena as they were watching that moment where the buzzer sounded and reality set in that they had won the NBA Finals. And you could see everyone just break out in joy and they're high-fiving one another and hugs, and you even saw a few people crying. And then you go back to the broadcast and you see LeBron James get down on his knees and both hands are clasping the hardwood as he just is overcome with emotion. He's in tears. You look at Tyronn Lue, the young coach taking over for this squad mid-year, who got a lot of just that move alone with, you know, I can only imagine how David Blatt felt. I mean, David Blatt started the year as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. It seemed as though he lost the locker room. Then you have this young pup and Tyronn Lue take over. Tyronn Lue, hats off to him, 39 years old, folks, the 4th youngest coach to ever win the NBA Finals. Crazy, crazy stuff. You see him on the bench, he's in tears. Just an unbelievable moment. You know, it's taken so long for the city of Cleveland to celebrate this. You know, the Cleveland curse, if you will, that dates back, you know, to 1964. That's the last time they've been able to celebrate something. You know, you can go back to 1981, where the Cleveland Browns faced the Oakland Raiders in what is called Red Right 88. Pass intercepted when the Browns had the game. Well, they were down by 2. They were driving, and then the pass gets intercepted. Then they don't get to advance in the playoffs then. You can go back to 1986, 1987. The Cleveland Browns taking on the Denver Broncos in what is known as simply the drive. The great John Elway. When it looked as though the Browns had that game in hand, Elway drives his team right down the field, the full length of the field, to break Cleveland's heart once again. And then 1988, a rematch of the previous year. The Cleveland Browns taking on the Broncos yet again in what's known as simply the fumble. Yeah, Ernest Biner, folks, fumbles on the 2-yard line, and Ernest Biner had been ripping it up on the gridiron all day. Looked as though he was going to cruise across the pylon and advance the Cleveland Browns in the NFL playoffs. But no, he fumbles, kaput, game over, right? And then how about Art Modell actually moving the Browns to Baltimore in 1995, and the Baltimore Ravens go on to win a Super Bowl not long after that. Ah, yeah, the great Ray Lewis teams, right? And then you could go to the shot. So we got with Red Right 88, the drive, the fumble, the shot. Back in 1989, the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, with the double pump over Craig Elo as the buzzer sounds, and then he leaps 20 feet in the air with the iconic fist pump of emotion. Yeah, we all have seen that one, right? In 1995, let's go baseball. The Cleveland Indians losing in the World Series in 6 games to the Atlanta Braves. 1997, the Indians taking on the Florida Marlins. The bottom of the ninth, folks. This is the World Series. The bottom of the ninth. The Indians have the lead. And then Mesa just completely blows the save. Marlins celebrate the World Series. Just snatch it right away from the Indians. But folks, that disappointment all ended last night with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. What a moment. What a moment. And as that game went on, I mean, you look at, you know, how it really played out. And I always say this, you know, and I wanted to make this point when concerning the two superstars, the two biggest superstars out of this series in Steph Curry and LeBron James. If LeBron James would have lost that game seven, he would have taken a lot of blame, okay? A ton of blame, as LeBron always does. He LeBron James has the most pressure, or you can even say had now with this latest NBA championship. But, you know, prior to last night, LeBron James, out of any player in the NBA, has the most pressure on his back because people expect LeBron to not just compete for an NBA championship, but to win the thing every single year, okay? He was highly scrutinized dating back to when he broke Cleveland fans' hearts with the whole decision to link up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade down in South Beach. And they had an hour-long special, and you had Cleveland fans in the middle of the street burning, yes, setting on fire his very jersey. He went out there, had immense success with the Heat, won championships out there, but then he had to change of heart. You know what? He said, all right, I've got a few chips here. You know, I've got two. I want to return to my hometown and deliver on the promise that I had when I first was drafted by them. He returns to Cleveland, doesn't get the job done last year. But now another opportunity against, again, a team that went 73-9, and he puts on a show. LeBron James was absolutely fantastic. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. I'm going to get to Kyrie Irving in just a second, okay? Because, you know, it's funny. I put on my Facebook page, you know, how LeBron James was absolutely spectacular. Then all of a sudden, there's still a few LeBron haters here and there that still exist out there, folks. As soon as I said that, there were a few people out there that said, hey, well, LeBron James, you know, he doesn't get that championship as if it wasn't for Kyrie Irving. He was the best player out of that game. He deserved at least a share of the co-MVP. But I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh, okay, duh. I mean, no one just wins an NBA championship on their own. You have to have help. If Kyrie Irving doesn't hit that huge shot over Steph Curry, we could be singing a different tune right now. But he didn't. He nailed it. And LeBron James had a triple-double last night, folks. 27 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. Kyrie Irving could have had the same game he had last night. But if you don't get a triple-double from LeBron James, Cleveland does not win that game. So it's a catch-22. Batman and Robin here, folks. Batman and Robin, okay? You can't have one without the other. They both were stellar. And how about Kevin Love? Kevin Love didn't need to light up the scoring stat sheet, okay? But at the same time, he provided the small things, the small details that Cleveland needed in order to pull out that game last night. Okay, for Kevin Love, 9 points, a total of 14 rebounds. He even had 3 assists, 2 steals. Kevin Love did his job. Did his job. I really don't get how Kevin Love is so highly scrutinized left and right. I really don't get that criticism. That's another story. But Kevin Love was fantastic. He had 10 defensive rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds, and his presence was felt very early on in that game. So my point here is you need a team to win an NBA championship. And the Cavaliers embodied that throughout that entire game last night. But LeBron James, you could see when this team went down 3-1, LeBron James put this team on his back and said, hey, follow me. I got you. Triple-double last night, folks. Again, the first triple-double in a Game 7 in the finals since 1988 when James Worthy did that. And prior to that, you got to go back to Jerry West, who also accomplished that very feat. But he delivered on his promise to the city. LeBron James is now 3-4 in the NBA Finals. He wins his third Finals MVP, now only trailing MJ. I don't think anybody's going to catch MJ. I mean, MJ won 6 NBA championships, and he's got 6 MVPs in the NBA Finals. I don't think he's touching that unless LeBron, you know, gets 6 rings. I don't know. But, again, LeBron James has done this his way. He's always been like that throughout his entire career. Love him, hate him. You've got to respect him. And we're going to get to LeBron James's legacy in just a second. But I want to bring this up now because this is a big topic of conversation as well. The Golden State Warriors, a very stout team. They go 73-9 throughout the regular season. Again, the greatest regular season the game has ever seen. But I go back to the tweet that Michael Jordan sent the squad when the playoffs started. He said, congratulations on breaking the record. Now let's see what you guys do in the playoffs, because that's what matters. 73-9 is all fine and dandy. But if you end the year without capping off that with an NBA championship, it means nothing. Now, I do believe there is some validity to it, because we're talking about the defending NBA champions. So it proves that, hey, you know, last year wasn't a fluke. They were great game in and game out throughout the regular season. But the playoffs are a different monster. They got to the finals, but they did not finish the deal. So you better believe that that 73-9 record does not mean anything, really. It doesn't mean anything. It means very little. You got to finish the deal in that regard. So to call them the greatest team of all time, no. No, you just can't do that. Can't do that, folks. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, because he actually called this thing. I had chosen Golden State in six. Logical, right? No one expected Cleveland to pull this thing out in seven games before the series started. And there were very few that thought it would go seven games in the first place, especially when evaluating how the series started, okay? 2-0 series lead by Golden State, and I thought it was going to be a five game, you know, maybe even a sweep. But Isaac called it. He said, hey, Cleveland in seven games. And Isaac, you were actually down in Cleveland. We chatted after Friday's show, and you said, yeah, I want to make the drive down there just to see what will happen if, you know, Cleveland can pull this thing out, just to be a part of that atmosphere. And you were. How crazy was that out in Cleveland last night?
Well, I've got to say, I was inspired to make the trip by my New Orleans Saints, remembering what it felt like when they won the championship. So I actually sent this text to my friend. I was just trying to recruit people for the trip. And I said, let me convince you. It'll be cheap. We can catch a few Z's at a place in Cleveland before or after, like $20 a piece, Airbnb, whatever. But I said, forget the logistics. Cleveland and Detroit are maybe two of the more downtrodden cities in America. New Orleans was just as much so when we won a Super Bowl. When I walked outside and heard the deafening clamor coming from every angle and every vertex, and when I almost biblically stretched my arms out and looked up to God to ask if this was real, that is what the denizens of Cleveland, every single resident, will feel like if they win a championship. This could bring the city back. It might not mean so much to us, but for a hurting city's citizens, it will be the most exuberance that you'll ever see anywhere. It's the ambrosia to answer starvation. Thought that out on the spot. Now, come on, you got to join me. And sure enough, you did. So shout out to my friend.
Let me hit pause real quick. That's the text?
That's the text.
That you sent to your homies.
Thought it out on the spot. Yep.
Wow. You're a regular Charles Dickens. You know that, Isaac? That's unbelievable.
I try, sir.
What was your reaction to your friends? You're like a poet, Isaac. So they probably look at you like Edgar Allan Poe or something, dude.
If you were impressed by that, the reaction did not disappoint. It was a beautiful scene. And my favorite thing about when a city like that wins a championship, everything goes out the window that's bad in society. Nobody fights. You forget race. You forget gender. You forget age. I saw 80-year-old men, and I kid you not, crying in the streets of Cleveland. It was a beautiful sight. And there were a few quotes just from passerbys that I really remember. One is actually more of a comical one, which is, we don't suck anymore.
Nice. That's funny.
I thought that was pretty good. But another, which I thought was much more touching and heartfelt, was actually, this is the best city in the world to be right now at this moment. And I thought, you know what? That's right. It's so great to win a championship. And the way it happened for Cleveland, LeBron James described it so poetically. This was not given. This was earned by Cleveland more than anybody else. And you can complain, what if Draymond wasn't suspended? What if Steph wasn't off? But the thing is, Cleveland had so much to overcome. You mentioned the first team ever with three previous teams making it to that 3-1 to 3-3 series, a tied up series. No team had ever come back, and Cleveland did it. They did it away. Golden State did not lose back-to-back games until Actually, May 25th against the Thunder. They lost back-to-back-to-back games against the Cavs, back-to-back home games. It was incredible. It was impeccable from the Cavs. And I've got to shout out a few people. I'm happy you mentioned Kevin Love because he really was up there. And, you know, he'd been criticized all playoff series, rightfully so. What I pointed out was his help defense on Steph Curry. He and Tristan Thompson did a great job. Excuse the voice cracks. Obviously, I was out a little bit last night.
But yeah, Tristan was great. I mean, if you look at his stat line, and that's another guy. I thought that Tristan Thompson, and I thought that Tyronn Lue made a mistake though early on in that game when they decided to go small. And yes. I saw that Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson were on the bench. I'm sitting there saying, no, you don't go small against Golden State. That is a weakness. If there's any weakness on that Golden State Warriors roster, it's size. If you got two stout big men who can score, who can facilitate, who have great instincts down low, why not have both of those players in the game? So I thought that when Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson re-entered and played the majority of the rest of that game, that was the key right there. I thought they were fantastic.
No, and Kevin Love had the highest plus-minus of anybody on the court last night.
Plus 19, I think?
Plus 19. Yeah. Unbelievable. So he really made the difference. LeBron James, you said it as well as you could. This is the best player in the NBA right now. And, you know, for people trying to detract from his greatness, saying, what about Kyrie Irving? Kyrie Irving played incredibly. He was a great Robin. You could not ask for a better sidekick.
Yeah.
But he is not the hero here. This is all about LeBron James. That shot by Kyrie will go down in finals history. It deserves to. But LeBron James to put a city literally on his back and carry it all the way here, you saw so much emotion. Actually, right during the show, I was looking up his celebration when Miami won the championship. This was so much more emotional for him. You could tell what it meant.
It pales in comparison because you're talking about, just looking at how this city has not won a major championship since the 60s, dude. I mean, that alone. I mean, I was watching. I was getting a little, you know, emotional watching. I'm like, dude, I can only imagine. And then they start panning, you know, to the fans and how they were out in the streets just celebrating and just so happy and vibrant. I mean, how could you not get emotional watching that scene? And LeBron, again, it's all about LeBron James right now. Even though Kyrie Irving has been, even though he started the series a little rocky, Kyrie Irving, he was the yin to LeBron's yang throughout most of the series, I should say. And they were fantastic down the stretch. I mean, that shot over Steph Curry was just, and it's funny, I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm watching it. And I'm saying, okay, this is where LeBron has to take over. And you know I get on LeBron James a lot about deferring to his teammates. So I'm sitting there with my dad. I'm literally yelling at the television when I see Kyrie Irving with the basketball against Steph Curry saying, yes. LeBron, demand the basketball. As soon as I say that, Kyrie Irving, you know, with a baby crossover, fading to his right, hand in his face, just chucks it from three-point land, nothing but the bottom. And I'm sitting there saying, my dad starts chuckling and laughing. I'm like, that's one of those shots. I can't say anything
on that.
I just threw my hand up and said, well, all right, if he hits that, all right, hey, let's keep it moving then. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, though, where, you know, Kyrie has been so good. He's the best one-on-one guard in the NBA. I mean, when one-on-one, he can take, his ball handling is so crisp, so pure, that it makes it just a nightmare to guard the dude. And you have to give him a lot of credit throughout this series as well.
Well, I thought there were two real game swingers in momentum, and one was LeBron James back-to-back possessions getting 3 points apiece
right. When
Festus Ezeli was guarding him. Thought that was huge. I also thought, actually, this is a third, I guess, but J.R. Smith to start the second half was perfect. That's just what they needed. But more so ever, Kyrie Irving taking it strong at Draymond Green, finishing with his left hand, drawing the N1 high off the backboard.
Oh.
There was no defending that. And Draymond Green, you do have to shout out him too. Player of the game, without a doubt, win or lose. He was superb.
If
the Warriors would have won, there's a debate for him to be the finals MVP too.
Sir, and that's who I would have voted for. I mean, he had 32 points on 11 of 15 shooting, 15 boards, 9 assists, 2 steals. Draymond Green was stellar. So before we hit our first break, again, we're taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to Ray from Indiana on line 1. Ray, welcome to the show.
Skipper!
What's up, my man?
52 years, the curse is over in Cleveland. I've been down there 5 out of the last 6 years, and I'll tell you, I run into some of the most classiest Indian fans down here when I go to the ball games. And I'll tell you, that city really needed it more than anybody in the United States.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean, I went through the list of, you know, the shot, the fumble, the drive, red right 88. I mean, you can go on and on and on about the disappointments in Cleveland sports history. But yeah, in this city needed that. So if anything, biases aside here, any sports fan out there looking at what took place last night, you have to just have a soft spot for the Cleveland fans.
Well, you know, the Indians haven't won a world championship since 1948.
Long
I was born
time.
In 49. 97, when me and my daughter went to the Rose Bowl and they won the national title, Michigan, I thought, well, I can die and go to heaven if the Indians win this thing.
Right.
And they were two outs away and blew the game. So they've had a lot of heartbreak. So it's really nice for that city to win. The only thing I could compare it with, if the Detroit Lions, they've never been to a Super Bowl in 51 years of the Super Bowl. If they won the world championship in football, the fans would probably go crazy in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. That's very, very true. Very, very true. Ray, thanks for the call, my man. Let's go to line two. We've got Camille from Lansing on. Camille, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on with y'all?
I am doing fantastic. What's on your mind, Camille?
Yeah, I said yesterday, watch me have to call her out so we can make sure we set this record straight.
So, okay, go ahead. Set what record straight?
So I'm gonna say this real quick so we can get on with this show. But I want to start out by saying I am by far not a LeBron James hater. In fact, I'm going to say this just so that you know, we're from Saginaw.
Right.
Of course we're going to root for Draymond Green, but I've been in basketball all my life. Mm-hmm. And I just believe, like, when you're as great as LeBron James, I just believe that you deserve to get a title. That's just what I believe. And that's why I rooted for the Cleveland throughout this series, as opposed to rooting for Draymond. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this. LeBron did a good job, but I've been listening to your show since the day you started, which means last year we were together with this show. And what you said last year, you said LeBron, you know, he played an awesome game, but he had no supporting cast. That's what you said. That's
right.
All sportscasters. That's what everybody said.
Yeah.
That he had no supporting cast. So I'm saying that to say this. LeBron, yesterday, because even LeBron said in the interview was that the first couple games, he did a horrible job. But these last few games, LeBron stepped his game up, and he was LeBron James. With that being said, last year, LeBron James played like LeBron James, but he had no supporting cast. Kyrie Irving, when he got hungry to take this title, that's when things changed for Cleveland. Or else we was about to see a repeat of what we saw last year. Kyrie Irving won this for Cleveland. Now, because LeBron James has the ability to be LeBron James, but Kyrie Irving stepped out of his comfort zone and he played basketball this series.
But come here, you could go back and forth with this. If LeBron James does not have a triple double last night, Kyrie Irving's performance is minuscule. And the same thing, vice versa. If Kyrie Irving doesn't do what he did last night, LeBron James' performance is minuscule. This was a collective effort. I don't think you can. The reason why I bring up why I'm harping on LeBron James so much is because LeBron James, when this team was down 3-1, LeBron literally said, okay, I'm going to take over. And it's something that's rare. We have not seen LeBron do that often throughout his career. We just like, you know what, give me the ball. I'm going to score. I'm going to make something happen. And he had, you know, back-to-back 41-point efforts. And then he has a triple-double in a Game 7. Again, Camille, we haven't seen this since 1988. So I don't know if you can put, you know, I think what a lot of people are harping on, Isaac, is the shot. The Kyrie Irving shot was so in your face. I mean, it was a close, I forget, what was it, a tie? Was it a tie game?
It was tied,
It was a tie game when Kyrie Irving hits that shot.
Right.
That's a huge bucket that stands out on the timeline of events of how this thing panned out. And I get it. That's a huge shot. But don't let that cloud and get you confused about what LeBron did consistently from the very start to the very end of this game.
Oh, no. I can say this. Long before he hit that shot, I had really stopped saying, LeBron, come on, win the championship. I was saying, is Irvin on the floor? Hand him the ball so he can win LeBron a championship. Because all while Irvin was on that floor, we couldn't lose. We couldn't lose
right.
to him. He got that ball in his hand. We couldn't go wrong.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
The coach should have been fired if he had to stop putting the ball in Irvin's hands. Irvin, and I understand LeBron said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and play this game. But Irvin's been hungry for it. And
he's
at
been
the
great.
Same time,
right.
remember they both hit 40? Remember the one game where they both hit 40?
Yeah, back to back. Yeah, they both had 41. Yeah.
Irvin's game has been stepped up. And so my whole thing is, you know, thank you, LeBron. You did an awesome thing. But at the end of the day, I just really feel like LeBron, the city should praise him, but I feel like Kyrie Irving should be holding that MVP trophy. Because without Kyrie Irving and Love, the supporting cast, there should have been more than one. Because even at the end of the day, I said, watch me have to call Al Show, because they're going to try and get that to LeBron off of history. Not off of history. The history of these last seven games.
Okay. Well, I was stay tuned because we got to hit a first, but we got to get to our guest for today's show. Stay tuned because I'm gonna go into why LeBron James deserves the MVP. I understand Irving was great, but we'll go into that in just a second. But thank you so much for bringing that point up, Camille. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we will chat with beat writer for the Cleveland Cavaliers for Cleveland.com and radio host for 92.3 The Fan, Mr. Chris Fedor. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Wherever a story develops, the Newsday team will be there.
Newsday's Shaima Khalil in the Egyptian capital.
Thousands of Mohamed Morsi supporters are still gathering here, really waking up to the dramatic events of yesterday.
I'm in the center of an absolutely extraordinary security operation.
Follow the story wherever it leads with Newsday from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
The number of abortion clinics in Texas is dwindling, which means fewer places for doctors to learn how to perform abortions.
The limited choices for our patients pretty much parallels the limited choices for our residents to get training.
I'm David Green, teaching abortion procedures in Texas. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition.
Morning Edition, tomorrow morning between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, throughout this entire show so far, we have been talking about the incredible moment for the city of Cleveland. Last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers taking home the 2016 NBA championship, topping the Golden State Warriors in seven games. And right now, we'd like to get to our guest for today's show. His name is Chris Fedor. Of course, he is a Cleveland Cavaliers beat reporter for Cleveland.com and radio host for 92.3 The Fan. First off, Chris, did you get any sleep? Did you get any sleep, dude?
I think I got 3 hours, Al. Maybe three.
I'm sure it was pretty nuts, man, in Cleveland. First off, I just want to talk about the moment. You know, again, we've been harping on this. This is the first time that Cleveland has been able to celebrate a major sports championship since the 60s. I know you were probably in Oakland last night, right?
No, I was actually back home. I wanted to be a part of what it was going to be like here in this town.
How was it out in Cleveland? Just describe the atmosphere.
It was absolutely nuts. Fans were hanging on every single play. They packed wherever it was that they wanted to get to in downtown Cleveland. You couldn't park on the street in downtown Cleveland because they were towing cars because they needed room for people so that they could pack in and watch it wherever they wanted to. But it was something like I've never seen before, Al. People were in a parking garage, standing on the roof of a parking garage or on the second floor of a parking garage, just wanting to be downtown so that they could be in the environment, even if they couldn't get a great picture of the screen. They just wanted to be a part of of this and what the city was going to be like when it happened.
Oh, boy. And they showed the images via ESPN last night, and I was just, my jaw was on the floor, and there was, I certainly got a bit emotional. I'm not even from Cleveland. I got a bit emotional watching them celebrate because it's been so long. What, you know, Chris, for LeBron James, and we just had a caller that called in, and, you know, and I got into a discussion last night with a few of my friends about, you know, the finals MVP award for LeBron James. He was absolutely stellar throughout this entire series. But again, you know, Kyrie Irving had another great performance. He was the Robin to LeBron's Batman yet again last night. LeBron James winning last night's MVP. I think you're in the agreement in the majority here, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there was any other choice. And again, in another year, maybe Kyrie, he averaged 27 points per game. Shot about 47% from the field, 41% from three-point range. He hit the dagger three. He arrived as a superstar in Game 5 on the road when the Cavs absolutely needed him. He scored 41 points. He was terrific in that game. It was one of the best shooting performances in NBA Finals history. His shot that he made to beat the Warriors is going to go down in Cleveland sports lore. It's going to go down in NBA Finals lore. But LeBron led everybody in points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. He impacted every single play on every single possession, offensively, defensively, in a way that nobody else can in the NBA. So I don't think there was another choice for it at all.
Chris, if LeBron didn't pull out that game last night, his record would have been 2-5 in the NBA Finals. That now moves to 3-4. What does this win? You know, especially when you look at the history in context of this question. Again, the whole decision to go to South Beach, link up with D-Wade and Chris Bosh and win championship out there, the burning of the LeBron James jerseys. You know, you saw those images still really ingrained in my mind and many, many people out there's their respective minds when looking at that. And LeBron deciding to say, you know what, I'm going back home and I want to deliver a championship to Ohio, to Cleveland. What does this do for LeBron's legacy?
It solidifies it, Al. It's the one thing that he was missing on the resume. It's the one thing that he would admit that he wanted to accomplish most for the rest of his time in the NBA. It's the one thing that he needed. He said in 2003 that he was going to deliver a championship to Cleveland. He made that promise on draft night when he was drafted by the Cavs coming out of high school, St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron. There were some people in the NBA who wondered if he could get it done in Cleveland without Dwayne Wade. There were some people that wondered if LeBron could be the guy to lead the team to a championship, because in Miami there were conversations about if it was Pat Riley, if it was Dwayne Wade, if it was really his team, whose team was it? So this was the thing that LeBron had to do. This is the thing that LeBron can now check off his resume. And the other thing that it does, Al, is, you know, one of the negatives on his resume, maybe the only negative on his resume to this point, is 2010, the decision. It wasn't so much the decision to leave Cleveland and go to Miami. It was the way that he handled it. Mm-hmm. And this, in a way, it kind of undoes that decision because he came back to Cleveland and he delivered a title after fleeing Cleveland and going to Miami. So if you look at his resume, there aren't a lot of other things that he can accomplish throughout the rest of his career that is going to top this accomplishment, especially given the fact now that it came against Golden State, the record-setting Warriors, rallying from a 3-1 series deficit in the NBA Finals, the first time any team in the history of the league has done that, and he beat two-time MVP Curry to do that. He flexed his muscle and showed again that, yeah, maybe it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately sort of thing in the regular season, and so many people were talking about the Warriors and all their three-pointers and the show that they put on. But don't forget about me here, because when it comes down to it, nobody impacts an outcome of a game the way that I do. So given everything, I think it solidifies his legacy. There's nothing else that he can do in his career that's going to top this moment.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland Cavaliers beat reporter for Cleveland.com and radio host for 92.3 The Fan. Chris, this is a Golden State Warriors team that, again, had the best regular season record of any squad all time in NBA history, okay, eclipsing that 95-96 Chicago Bulls record. They lost 9 games throughout the entire 82-game year. They lost nine games in the playoffs alone. What allowed Cleveland to give the Warriors so much trouble and allowed Cleveland to really rally and win three straight games, something that no other team did throughout the entire year?
So I think this is a complex question with a complex answer, and it's got a lot of different layers to it, Al.
Yeah, it does.
So we'll start here. Steph Curry was not healthy in the playoffs. The minute that he went down against Houston, he was going to have to recover from an injury that usually takes 3-4 weeks to recover from just to get back out onto the court, and then it takes probably another month, maybe two, to get back to the level that you were at before. I remember Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz actually tweeted the minute that Steph Curry went down against Houston and said, MCLs are no fun. This is going to be a long process. Jimmy Butler, after the All-Star break, was not the same player for a number of months. He probably wasn't the same player by the end of the season. And it led to Chicago collapsing and falling out of the playoff picture because he had the same injury, an MCL injury. It takes away your lateral quickness. It takes away your ability to explode near the basket. And all those things showed up for Steph. And it's not making an excuse at all. It's just saying the guy that we saw in the regular season who was the unanimous MVP wasn't the same guy that was here in the NBA Finals because he couldn't be that guy because his body didn't allow him to be that guy. His knee was wrapped up like he was a mummy. He pulled out of the Olympics because his knee is bothering him so much. So this was something real that Golden State had to deal with. The other thing is the same kind of teams gave the Warriors problems all season long, Al. I mean, look at what the Thunder were able to do in the Western Conference Finals. They got three wins. They needed four to get to the NBA Finals. But for those three wins, it was length. It was athleticism. It was ISO basketball. Guys like Damian Lillard, guys like CJ McCollum, guys like Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. And the same thing happened with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. So I think what it takes to beat the Warriors is you have to morph into a version of them in a way. You have to play smaller. And that's what the Cavs were able to do in the final three games. Of course, LeBron was brilliant. And of course, Kyrie was brilliant. And that's where it all started. But the Cavs changed their style, and they morphed into a version of the Warriors. They beat them in fast break points, and they played a small ball lineup with Tristan Thompson at the center of it. He played the Draymond Green role. He was able to switch on to Steph. He was able to switch on to Clay. So to me, the Cavs, in a way, beat the Warriors at their own game.
Very true. And, you know, I want to throw this, you know, the comment out there as well, Chris, because there are a lot of people that look at this series as well. And, you know, the way it was officiated, I felt as though the referees swallowed their whistles a lot throughout this series. And they allowed this series, which is very rare in the NBA, they allowed this series to get a bit physical. And I also thought that kind of threw off Golden State because you had Steph, who, again, as you mentioned, and I feel like, you know, a lot of players are injured, you know, throughout this time of the year as well, especially when you talk about a series that goes to a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. I mean, if you reach this point in the year, you're going to have some injuries. But, you know, when you have Steph Curry trying to get open and he's coming off and getting bumped left and right, I mean, the way it was officiated, I thought, kind of opened the door for Cleveland to sort of step in the room.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Al. The Cavs came into the series, and they had certain things that they wanted to accomplish. And on the scouting report, it was don't give any airspace to Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be physical. Golden State's a rhythm offense, Al. They have to rely on sharp ball movement, a backdoor cutting, screens away from the ball. And if you take them out of rhythm, and if you grab them, and you hug them, and you push them, and you're physical with them, it's going to affect the flow of their offense. It's going to change a lot of things that they usually do. So I thought the Cavs came into this series a little bit timid, but then when they came back home for Game 3, they brought the kind of defensive intensity that is demanded in the NBA Finals and the kind of defense that's demanded against a team like Golden State, the kind of defense that the Cavs were asking for at the very beginning of the series, because that's the best way to handle a rhythm offense is make them uncomfortable. Try and poke them. Try and push them. Try and get away with anything that you possibly can to take them out of their comfort zone. And I thought the Cavs did that. And I didn't think, Al, the Warriors handled that well. And I don't think it was just Steph Curry and Klay Thompson that didn't handle it well. I mean, Draymond Green lost his mind at the end of game four because of that physical play.
Yeah.
And the minute that Draymond Green was suspended, that opened the door for the Cavs to do something historic, that breathed some life into them. And the Cavs, kudos to them, they took advantage of it. But because of the way that the series was going, because of how physical the Cavs were, they, in a way, provoked Draymond Green into a terrible decision that completely changed the outcome of the series, in my opinion.
Totally agree. Chris, before we get you out of here, I want you to pick one word to describe what this moment means to the city of Cleveland and why.
One word. Trying to find the right word here.
Take your
time. Trying to encapsulate this. I'd say tears. That would be the word that I would use. Because for so many years, fans were on the other side of this in Cleveland. It was John Elway delivering a great pass. It was Michael Jordan delivering his version of the shot. It was Edgar Renteria hitting the base hit in the 1997 World Series. And that led to tears of sadness, tears of heartbreak, tears of disappointment, just being on the other end of that. And the Cavs, the way that they won the game, and because Kyrie delivered that moment that the Cavs have been on the other side of and Clevelanders have been on the other side of so many times, it led to tears. Ty Lue couldn't hold back his emotions. J'Arris Smith went up to the podium last night. He started crying. LeBron looked emotional as he went down to the court. People in Cleveland were crying, and this time the tears were because they were overcome with positive emotion because of all the 52 years of heartbreak and sadness and disappointment turned into the greatest moment in Cleveland sports history. So that's the word that I would use, tears.
Chris, that was so well put, my friend. Chris Fedor, Cleveland Cavaliers beat reporter for Cleveland.com and radio host for 92.3 The Fan. Chris, thanks so much for your time. And hey, and go enjoy the excitement out there in Cleveland, dude. Live it up.
You got it, man. I'm like J'Arris Smith. I've got a shirt on today.
I love it. Thanks so much for your time, Chris.
All right, buddy.
All right. And you know what? I want to go out like this. You know, that was a great segue into the bite from that moment. That was my favorite moment from last night, watching J'Arris Smith on Father's Day talk about what this moment meant to him. One that dates back to his infancy when his dad put the basketball in his crib.
My dad is easily one of my biggest inspirations to play this game. And to hear people talk bad about me, it hurts me because I know it hurts him. And that's not who I am. And I know he raised better, and I know I want to do better. And just everything I do is for my parents and my family. I mean, I don't really... The cars is nice, the houses is nice, but none of this matters without them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be. Honestly, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for the structure and the backbone that I have, I wouldn't be able to mess up and keep coming back and being able to sit in front of you as a world champion.
Thank you, JR.
Oh, yes, that was J.R. Smith at the podium last night talking about his dad winning an NBA championship on Father's Day and talking about what his dad means to him. Easily my favorite moment. We didn't get a chance to dive into and get your thoughts, Isaac, on LeBron James winning the Finals MVP. We'll save. We got some more in the can for tomorrow, all
plenty
right?
Plenty of time. Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of time. We'll of course, elaborate on the NBA Finals tomorrow as well. And also, Jay Williams, yes, ESPN's Jay Williams, former college basketball hoop great, says that with this NBA championship win, LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. You better believe I'm going to sound off on that one tomorrow. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks so much to Chris Fedor for joining me. Also, Camille Ray, thanks so much for your calls. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Take care. Have a great afternoon. And be easy, people.